is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
We're in your presence. We give you praise.
I'm gonna give you praise.
Lord, we worship.
Lord, we worship.
Jesus. We're in your presence.
We're in your presence.
We give you praise.
We're gonna give you praise.
Lord, we worship.
We're gonna open our mouths and worship.
Your holy name.
Your holy.
Worship your holy name.
Come on, let's take it a little higher right here.
We're in your presence.
We're in your presence. We're gonna give you praise. Lord, we worship
your holy name.
Your holy and righteous name.
The highest,
highest, highest praise.
We worship.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, this is actually the first time I've been at this pulpit in about a month or so. Amen. But listen, I know y'all been well fed over the last several weeks. Pastor Mulungizi was here. Amen. Pastor Kim brought a word. Pastor Lloyd last week for Mother's Day. So I got me a little vacay. Hardly. But it's all good. Somebody say it's all good. Amen. So now what are we celebrating today on the Christian calendar? Come on, say it loud. Pentecost. We are celebrating Pentecost. Now here's the second part of the quiz. If you've been here at Judah for more than 5 years, you should know the answer to this. What is it on the Jewish calendar? Do we have a slide, Micah? See, he was holding it for you. Shavuot. Somebody say Shavuot. Do we have a winner? Come on. All right, Sister Laura, give her a round of applause. It is Shavuot, which is the Feast of Weeks. And this year, the Jewish calendar and the Christian calendar is a little off. They won't actually celebrate that till in June sometime. But on a Christian calendar, it is for May 19th, which is today. So we are going to talk about the Feast of Pentecost today. Is that all right? Amen. So I will need you to open your books up to, your Bibles up to the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. So our Father and our God, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful for your holy word. We're so thankful for your holy presence, oh God. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use this time, Father God, use this body, these lips, every breath that comes through. Father, let it speak your word and your truth, Father. Lord, I pray that you would till the soil in our hearts, that we might receive from you today, Lord God. Father, that we might be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in the matchless holy name of Yeshua. Jesus, we pray. Come on, Judah. Somebody shout amen. 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 So come on, put your hands together and welcome our international congregation watching online. We have more than 10 countries every week that are watching. So we thank God for the international Judah congregation. So once again this morning, we are talking about the Feast of Shavuot. It's also known as Pentecost in the Christian circles. Shavuot is all about the celebration of God's word. It's all about the celebration of God's word, which began on Mount Sinai with Moses, as you know your story from Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. When they got to Mount Sinai, it was the Matan Torah, the giving of the gift, and the Lord told them to celebrate that day with the gift or the celebration of Shavuot. So, for all you Pentecostals in here, we got some Pentecostals in here? You do not need to be shy if you speak in another heavenly tongue. You do not need to be shy if you can cut the rug every once in a while. All right, now I'm going to ask the question again. Do we have any devil stomping, tongue talking, Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled folk in this church? I don't know. I know we might have some Baptocostals in here, and I know we got some recovering Catholics, but you're in a good place. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm in a good place. All right, so I said all that to say, listen, the Feast of Pentecost did not begin in the book of Acts chapter 2 with the celebration of speaking in tongues. Somebody say amen. All right? So as a foundation, we're going to take a look at the Lord's Feast calendar. I think we have a slide up there. It's called the Seven Feast Calendar. Let me kind of just lay this out for you here. We'll get to Acts 2 there in a second, Micah. You're a little bit ahead of me. So I just need this Seven Feast slide. Now remember, there are seven feasts of the Lord. And here's a slide to show you the progress of it. In the early spring every year, the Lord told them, he commanded them, these aren't Jewish feasts, these are the Lord's feast. Are you with me? In Leviticus 23, you could read all the details, but the first feast in the spring is Passover, then unleavened bread, and then the feast of first fruits. These are one feast. They basically call it Passover, but there's three celebrations at the time of the Passover feast in the spring. After 50 days, you would go into early summer, late spring, and there would be the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost. Then from the Feast of Pentecost, you would have the long summer months. So once Pentecost was celebrated, they would labor throughout the summer months, preparing for the great harvest that is coming in the fall. The first feast in the fall would be the Feast of Trumpets. So I don't want to dive real deep into this, but just let me lay this out prophetically. Jesus Christ died on the cross on Passover. He was buried with unleavened bread. He rose on a Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit was given to the church. The church was birthed. The next prophetic fulfillment is the Feast of Trumpets. Come on, what's the Feast of Trumpets? It's the rapture. All right. So right now we are in the summer months. We are the church. We should be laboring. We should be out harvesting. We should be out watering. We should be out sowing seed. We should be pulling up some weeds. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? All right. So we need to be out there, because what's going to happen in the 29th, I believe it's the 29th day of Elul, there is going to be a trumpet that is going to sound. When that trumpet sounds, all the work is over. In Jewish culture back in the first century, that they would be working, they would work, and they would have one ear toward the temple, because you never knew which day the trumpet was going to blow, because there was a half a day involved in there. So they would be saying one to another, hey, when's the trumpet going to sound? The Jewish idiom of the day was, listen, no man knows the day or the hour. So you see where that Jewish idiom comes from. So Jesus saying about the rapture, he says, listen, keep your hand to the plow, look forward, because one day the trumpet's going to, don't worry about it, it's going to sound, but keep focused. So when they were out in the fields working, there would be the Arab and the Jew working together. The Arab cared less about that day coming. He had no concern about worship in the temple. But the Jew would have one ear pierced toward Jerusalem, waiting for that trumpet to sound. So then the trumpet would sound, the Feast of Trumpets. Then they would go into the Day of Atonement and the day of, or the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would live in little booths. And we've done extensive studies on this, but I just wanted to kind of lay this out to you as where we are, what we're celebrating today. So remember, all of the Lord's feasts are prophetic in nature. They all, every single one of them, point to the coming of Messiah. They all point to the coming of Jesus Christ. They are a blueprint of the first and the second advent of Jesus Christ, as well as the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now I need Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Micah, if you would, please. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or what you drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath day. All right, so right here, you know, people say, oh, you have to have church on Saturday. You got to have it on Thursday. There's a big Sabbath debate that's out there, you know, the Sabbath day holy. Listen, Paul is saying, listen, don't let anybody judge you about your Sabbath day. In other words, don't let anybody judge you on what day you meet at the Lord's house. Are you following with me, somebody? All right. So it goes on to say in verse 17, if we could get that up there, guys. I don't know what's going on, if we could. Verse 17, it says, these are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. All right? These are a shadow. All of the feasts that we talked about, the Sabbath, everything are a shadow of the things to come. But the reality, however, is found in Christ. So listen, saints, what Paul is saying here is we are no longer required. Did you hear me? We're no longer required to observe the Lord's feast. We're no longer required to observe Passover, because Jesus was and still is our Passover lamb. Come on, somebody. He's the reality of it. We were crucified with him as the perfect Passover lamb. We were buried with him on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And thank God, somebody, we live again with him as a part of the first fruit resurrection. My Bible says if that same spirit that raised Christ, what? From the dead, if he dwells in you, he's going to do what? He's going to quicken your mortal body. So that's our hope, that even as Jesus came up from the grave, we shall also rise from the grave. Now, that is not to say that we shouldn't observe the feast of the Lord. It's a good thing to observe them as a remembrance. Even Jesus said about the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal, he said, do this what? In remembrance of me. Why? Because they're object lessons, and that's how they would teach the children throughout the generations of what God, how he brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them out of their misery and brought them out of their bondage and brought them out of their slavery. Come on, am I talking to somebody here this morning? Do you remember how God delivered you from? Can you remember the Egypt that you were in? Can you remember the drugs that you were slaved to? Come on, somebody. So we should look at them because they are constant teaching that we can pass on through the generations. It's a object lesson. That's the purpose. However, once again, our salvation is not contingent on celebrating the Lord's feast as it was in the Old Testament. So let's take a look at Shavuot. It is one commemoration celebrating two separate events. For example, in our culture, if your birthday is on New Year's Day, you'd have one day, but you would celebrate two separate events. You would celebrate your birth and you would celebrate a new year, a new calendar year. So that's the same thing with Shavuot. There is one commemoration with two events. The commemoration is Moses at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. And the first item that is celebrated is called the Matan Torah. It simply means the giving of the Torah, or the giving of the word, or the giving of the law. All of you are familiar, I'm sure, with the word Torah. You know the Torah. The Jews still call the Old Testament. It's called the Torah. It's the law. It's the word. So they're celebrating the giving of the word. Remember, this is where Moses received the Ten Commandments straight from God. So that's the first celebration. The second celebration is because this event at Mount Sinai was a transitional moment in Jewish history. No longer were they merely the descendants of a great man named Abraham or simply a Middle Eastern people, now known as the Israelites. They had now become God's own people. God trusted the Israelites with his word. They were chosen to keep the Torah and to keep its laws. Now, if you've been through our Passover celebration, you know, we talk about the four cups and they drink the cups of the I will. Well, the fourth cup that they drink is out of Exodus chapter 6, which says God said to the Israelites, I will acquire you. So God acquired, he bought, he purchased the children of Israel. So in other words, God chose the Israelites. Listen, he chose the descendants of Abraham and Isaac. Y'all get that? He did not choose the descendants of Abraham and Ishmael. You know, they're still fighting that battle in Gaza right now. It's the same battle. God didn't choose the Hittites or the Jebusites or the Amorites or the Perizzites. He didn't choose any cellulite. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. No, he chose the Israelites. Listen, my friend, the Jews are clearly God's chosen people. They are the apple of his eye. They were then and they are now. How else would you explain May 14th, 1948 and the reunification of a nation that was extinct for nearly 2,000 years? Come on, Judah. What's my two favorite words? But God gathered them from the four corners of the earth and brought them in a day. How can a nation be born in a day? Isaiah wrote 600 years before Jesus. Anytime you run into an atheist, all you have to do is give them one word answer if they don't believe in God. All you have to say is Israel. If you don't believe in miracles, after nearly 2,000 years, you have these people gathered from all around the earth speaking, listen, the same language that they spoke that Abraham spoke. To all these Palestinian and Hamas supporters, to all the Jew haters out there, and especially those in governments around the world, listen clearly, don't miss this. Jesus, who is a Jew, he is on his way back as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He will destroy his enemies with the word of his mouth. He will set up his kingdom on the earth, and he will rule and reign in his capital, which will be Jerusalem. Come on, somebody in the house. Jesus is coming back. My God. So this Sinai event with Moses would be a paradigm shift in the nation of Israel. So the celebration of Shavuot, still celebrated by the Jewish community today, is commemorating first the giving of the word, the Matan Torah. Secondly, they're selling the birth of the Jewish nation and God himself as their king. So as part of the celebration and the traditional Jewish meal is to eat dairy products. So all the Jews will have in their house dairy products, just like, you know, they have the bitter herbs during Passover and the lamb shank and so on and so forth. During the Shavuot, they're going to eat dairy products. They're going to have milk and they're going to have cheese. And they'll even have a little cheesecake, which is, we like that part here at Judah. All right, so stand by. That's how we're going to keep you to the end of service, because we're going to have a little cheesecake. So don't scoot out early. You're going to miss your cheesecake. So they still do celebrate with a little cheesecake. It's a very common custom. So why cheesecake? Cheesecake is symbolic, as with all the Lord's feast. Excuse me. As with all the Lord's feast, there's a lot of symbolism in the meals that they take and their observant of the Passover, and we've looked at the matzah before with Passover and so forth. So what's the symbolism in cheesecake? The sweetness of the cheesecake symbolizes how sweet the word of God is. Come on, Mike, I have a slide here. Look at this. Psalm 119, verse 103. Come on. How sweet. Come on, that's two syllables, y'all. How sweet, huh, are your words to my mouth, huh? Yes, sweeter than honey. Psalm 34 and 8 says, taste. Come on, has anybody in here tasted of the Lord? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge. Come on, how many of you have tasted and saw and found out that the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a good God? And number two, the dairy or the milk symbolizes nourishment to our souls that his word provides. First Peter states, like newborn babies crave, what is it? Pure spiritual milk. Why? So that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and found out that the Lord is good. Many of you are familiar with the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus says, listen, man does not live by what? But by what? Every word. Come on, we're celebrating his word today. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, meaning his word is continually going forth. That word in the tense, it's in a perpetual tense, it's the perfect tense of the Greek, meaning his word sustains us. His word is our sustenance. His word is our portion. So today we're celebrating the word, somebody. So that's the background and a bit of history of the celebration of Pentecost or Shavuot. Let's take a look at the fulfillment of this festival in the New Testament. Now I need Acts chapter 2 here. We'll begin right at verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible states, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, somebody say all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that 120. Did you know the mother of Jesus, Mary, spoke in tongues? All right, there's a revelation for some Catholics here, right there, all right? She was a tongue talker. Verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these all who are speaking Galileans? Now, Galileans was almost a slight to them. It's an offensive term because Galileans were thought to be stupid and lower class people. So how could these people, these Galileans, please, you know what they said about Jesus. Can anything good come from Galilee, come from Nazareth, come from that area? No. So they say that these people, how could they be speaking in all these languages? And it goes on in verse 9, it says, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia. That sounds like a coffee at Starbucks or something. Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So, Judah, this is the first celebration of Pentecost or Shavuot post-resurrection. The Jews have been celebrating this for 1,500 years up until this point. Jesus would have celebrated this festival all his life for 30 plus years. Now, the record of the first giving of the word found in Exodus chapters 19 and 20, when God is speaking to the Jewish nation. That was the first celebration. The commentary in the Midrash, which is an ancient classical collection of the sages' homiletic teachings of the Torah. They offer three attributes to the voice of God or the word of God that was spoken during this Mount Sinai event. Now, this commentary, mind you, was written thousands of years ago. It was written way before Christ by these Jewish scholars. They still read them today. I want to tell you about the three attributes that these scholars spoke about in the first Matan Torah. Number one, we have a slide here. Yep. God spoke in 70 languages. So concerning these passages in Exodus, the scholars write that when God spoke, he spoke simultaneously in 70 different languages. Why 70? Because that represented the 70 nations on earth at that time, so every nation would hear his word. Not only the Jews, but the entire world would hear the word of God. Watch now. We're going to see the fulfillment in Acts chapter 2, we just read. God made sure that there were people in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. Are you following me? They are represented there to witness the second fulfillment of the Matan Torah, or the giving of the word, so that this message, this event, would carry on and that the gospel would be preached throughout the entire earth. Your Bible says that there were people there from every nation under heaven. Listen. God did not need Facebook. He didn't need Snapchat. He didn't need to call a Zoom meeting. Is somebody hearing me? Listen, he didn't even need a translator. You know, when I travel overseas, I always need a translator. God didn't need a translator, somebody. He didn't need help in getting his message out to the entire world. He didn't have to wait for the invention of the internet or satellites. And today, God, listen, still speaks simultaneously to every language and every dialect on the face of the earth. We're talking about the voice of the Lord. We're talking about the Word of God here this morning. Listen, his message went viral in Acts chapter 2. And it's still trending today, somebody, in the 21st century. His Word is still going out throughout the world today. Your Bible, this book right here, the Graphe, the written Word, is still the best. There's still another one over there. I'll wear them all out if I have to. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Listen, listen, church. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And it's still, year after year, the best-selling book. Why? Because there is nothing. There is nothing that can compare to these pages that you hold in your hand. Come on, somebody. We're celebrating the Word of God. Nothing can compare to that book. It's the Word of God. We're talking about the celebration of God's Word in all its fullness. So number one, everybody heard the voice of the Lord. Number two, next slide please. These Jewish rabbinical scholars teach that when God spoke to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19, they describe it as the great voice that did not cease. They teach that after God spoke at Mount Sinai, he continued to speak through his prophets throughout the following centuries and would continue throughout all eternity. In other words, it's the great voice that did not cease. In Matthew chapter 4, we just quoted, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Once again, it's in the perpetual tense. In other words, God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? God is saying, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? This is the great voice that is still speaking throughout the earth. And we know today that God is still speaking in various forms. In Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says that as John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, it says there was a voice, a phoné in the Greek, that came from heaven that said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased. It was an audible voice of God. We see in Matthew chapter 4, we see the Graphe when Jesus was led into the wilderness and the devil tempted him. What did Jesus say? It is written. We know that the word, listen, I've taught this before, this is your legal covenant. This is your legal document. It is written. Jesus, whenever that devil comes, you just need to remind him of your legal agreement. It's called a covenant. We had a little issue with a covenant on Friday, but it's all right. But y'all with me about this covenant? God doesn't break his covenant. Oh, you need to thank God right there. Come on, how many of you broke the covenant against him? That's all right. Say amen, oh me, oh my. Ouch, whatever you need to say. Huh? But he's not breaking his covenant with you. That's good news to somebody. So we have the Graphe word, we have the Rhema word of God, the revelatory word of God. Romans 10 and 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? CNN? No. Fox News? By the hearing of the word of Jesus Christ, by hearing of the word. Come on, I know at some point in life, you all heard the voice of God and you had that aha moment. All of a sudden, you read something 100,000 times, but one day you got the Rhema, you got the revelation, and it made. Come on, are you with me, y'all? So you have the phoné, you have the Rhema, you have the Graphe, then we also have the Logos. The Logos. In the original language, it simply means the expression of my thoughts. John chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the expression of my thoughts. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, the Logos, was with God. And the Logos, the expression, come on, we're talking about Jesus. And the Logos, the expression of my thought, dwelt amongst us. Come on, somebody thank God for Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. So we're celebrating the Word of God here today, somebody. Now the third attribute is the non-echo voice of God. The non-echo voice of God. We're talking about the celebration of Shavuot, how sweet it is to our taste, how nourishing it is to our soul, just like a little cheesecake, somebody. Somebody say amen. Amen. So lastly, these ancient rabbis teach that when God spoke, there was no echo. They term it as the non-echo voice of God. There was no sound bouncing around. Let me explain that to you very briefly. Echo simply means a reflection of sound. For example, when I'm speaking in this auditorium, in this room, you hear the delay? Yeah. You hear the delay. Why is it happening? Because there are walls that are rejecting the sound. So it bounces off and it goes around. That's called an echo. But the sages say God had a non-echo voice. The teaching is that when the Lord spoke in Exodus 19, this is good, y'all. The sound of his voice not only came from up above heaven, but it came from the earth. It also came from every direction, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Why? Because God is omnipresent. Come on, are you hearing me, somebody? Listen, there is no escaping the Word of God. Honey, you can close your eyes. You can close your ears. You cannot stop the Word of God. And it permeated and infused everything on earth, even inanimate matter. It penetrated everything, every creature, and all of creation. Therefore, watch, if it permeated everything and infused everything, there was no echo. There was no rejection. Listen, nobody could reject the voice of the Lord. Amen. Oh, stay with me because I'm going to go somewhere right here. Watch what Isaiah says about this. Throw that up there, Micah. Chapter 55, verse 11. Most of you know this by heart. My word, speaking of God, that goes from my mouth, it will not, somebody say, not return. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Listen, saints of God, the voice of the Lord is always going forth. And one day, if you're watching by this broadcast, God's word will either save you or condemn you. But you cannot sidestep, my friend, the word of God. When the voice of the Lord comes to you, you cannot reject it. You can ignore it. You can disobey it. You can wrestle with it. Come on, how many of you wrestled with the word of God before, a time or two? You can disobey it. You can ignore it. You can wrestle with it, but you cannot reject it. Because why? The word of the Lord will go forth. It will accomplish what it is sent to do, and it will not return back to him empty. Why? Because God has a non-echo voice. Listen, there is no escaping the word of God. It doesn't matter if you're living in the jungles of Indonesia, the jungles of Africa, if you're hiding in the caves of Afghanistan, you cannot hide from God's word. It doesn't matter if you're living in an ivory tower in New York City or in Paris, or if you're living on Skid Row, you cannot get away, come on somebody, from the voice of the Lord. Honey, I don't care if you're living on Pluto or Mars. Or listen, even if you're an atheist, you cannot hide from God's word. That's why God's word says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, if you could throw that up there, Micah. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, watch, being understood from what has been made. Why? So that people are without excuse. Every part of creation is shouting God's word. No matter where you go, the Bible says the seas roar at the mention of his name. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Come on, somebody. The stars are dancing in the sky for you every night they get out there. Because they're being obedient to God's word. All of creation, so that men are without excuse. So the word of the Lord spoken in Exodus not only penetrated every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. It penetrated every horse, every fish, every tree. I'm not sure about cats. Please don't send me an email for all you cat lovers. Please. Just a jest. But listen, it penetrated every animal on earth, every body of water. God's voice penetrated, listen, every star, every angel, every galaxy, every universe, everything and anything. Come on, somebody. We serve a big, big God. Listen, beloved, the word of God affects everyone and everything. My God. Listen, when the fig tree was barren, who did Jesus speak to? The gardener? He spoke to the tree. When the storm winds were acting up on the Sea of Galilee, who did Jesus speak to? I don't think he called the weatherman. Did he go on his app looking for the weather channel? Come on, somebody. What'd he do? He spoke to the winds. The disciples were scratching their head. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey? I'm talking about the voice of God this morning, somebody. We serve a big God. Who do you think told the lions to shut their mouth when Daniel arrived? Who told the fire, don't you touch those three Hebrew boys? Who do you think told the sea, okay, when Moses stretches out that staff, you need to part? I'm talking about the voice of God this morning. Who called the fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah? Who told the rain to start on the day of Noah? Who told the sun to stand still? Who told the donkey what to say? Who... Who did this? Lazarus, time to get up from your nap. Oh, come on, somebody. We're talking about the voice of God this morning. We're talking about the power. We're celebrating his voice. Come on, has the voice of God, has the word of God permeated anybody in this house? Hey, Rabo Shato, Rabo Sara. Oh, we thank God. Who spoke the heavens into existence? Who spoke and created the earth in 7 days? It was the word of the Lord. It was the voice of God Almighty. That's what we're celebrating today. Let me wrap this up. So what's the purpose in Acts chapter 2? Shavuot. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the outpouring, the giving of the gift, the Matan Torah, It's the fulfillment of God himself now placing this all-powerful word within us. Because prior, listen, it plays into the feast, prior to the Passover, prior to the blood of the Lamb, we could not receive the word of God. But because of the blood of the Lamb, because of Passover, because of unleavened bread, because of the feast of first fruits, we are not, listen, Jesus didn't come, this might be breaking news for somebody, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Come on, do I got a witness in his house? There's a big difference there, y'all. But now that we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, we are a vessel worthy of the fire of God. This Acts chapter 2 is a fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 31. Throw it up there for me, please, Micah. The Bible says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. Somebody say, after that time. Talking about Mashiach, talking about Messiah, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. In other words, I will put my Torah in the Hebrew language. I will put my commandments in you. I will put my direction in you. I will put my instruction in you. I will put my prophetic teaching in you. I will put my word within you. I will put it in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Come on, somebody, thank God for his word and his loving conviction in our lives. So this day of Pentecost would be like none other. The first giving of the word with Moses at Mount Sinai, the Bible says, if you read your Bible, says the whole mountain just trembled violently. In the upper room, we see a violent rushing wind. We see cloven tongues of fire, just like they had fire on the Mount Sinai. But in this upper room, when the Holy Spirit, when the word was given, not only did the natural earth shake, I believe that the supernatural world began to tremble. Because I believe that the devil was saying to himself, before today, we only had one Jesus to deal with. But now, he's multiplied himself by 120, and it's perpetual, exponential increase throughout the centuries. That I'm telling you, church, when that mighty rushing wind came in, when the fire fell, I believe all hell was shaking in their boots, because now we walk in the authority of God because of his word in us. Come on, somebody in the house. That's why Jesus says, listen, go ye into all the world preaching the gospel and making disciples of all men and all nations. Yes. How many of you in here today are thankful that he's still multiplying himself through you and me? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Listen, wherever we go, Jesus goes. Yes. Say that again. You go to the grocery store, Jesus goes. I got a firsthand witness to them Salvation Army stores and stuff. Because my wife is always trying, oh Lord, look what the Lord got me today. He let me find this sale. Look, I got this. Salvation Army Mondays, 99 cent. So listen, the Lord is guiding her to sell. Oh, come on, somebody, are you hearing me here? No matter where you go, if you've been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't leave Jesus back in your closet. You don't leave him in his church building, I hope not. No, you take him everywhere. We're walking in the Spirit of God. Even when you fall in your pot of mud, Jesus is with you. What did David say? Whether I go to the heavens or I make my bed in hell. Oh, come on. That's good news for somebody in here. We serve a mighty God. Nothing can stop his voice. Nothing can stop his voice. We just need, as a people, learn how to open our ears, learn to hear him closely. We talked about Galatians chapter 5 a little bit on Friday. And the Bible talks about you walking in the Spirit, right? Walking in the Spirit. It has the connotation that you have to be close to your commander to hear. If you want to hear the command, you can't be a mile away from your commander. You got to be, listen, if we want to hear the heartbeat of God, our head needs to be up against his bosom. Are y'all with me? You can't be like Peter. Remember Peter, staying away. No, we need to be like John, up again. If you want to hear the heartbeat of God for your life, I want to encourage you to get closer. How do you get closer? Let's make this practical. You've got to read your word. Amen. Don't just expect YouTube. I'm not saying anything about it. YouTube is a great tool. Facebook is a great tool. We use them to reach millions throughout the world every month. It's a great tool, but that can't be your only diet. You have to dig some of them rocks up for yourself. Let God speak to you about these things. I hope that I'm on the internet a trusted voice, because how many know there's a lot of voices you cannot trust on the... Now hold on. Listen, it's predicted. Jesus said in the last days, many false Christ would arise. False prophets are going to rise. False teachers are going to rise. The great apostasy. It's upon us, saints. It's not coming. So you have to find trusted voices. But the most trusted voice you can have is if you crack the book, open yourself, and listen. God's word is good. He's looking for the best of each and every one of us. Your best interest is at the heart of God. He says, there's no good thing, what, that I will withhold for those who walk uprightly before me. Well, we have the Torah in our heart. Come on, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. This isn't a trick question. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Are you born again? You've received the Holy Ghost. It's like with the old Prego commercial. It's in there. Amen. So you have it. You have the Holy Ghost. We've been given the Matan Torah. It's the gift of the Word of God within our very lives, fulfilling Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. Amen? Come on, put your hands together and give our God a praise in the house.
In one accord,
every praise
is to our God.
to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To proclaim.